For thousands and thousands of years, the Psalms have spoken to our hearts of joy, of fear, of love, of awe and wisdom. Today, they remind us that it is for us to worship God. Let us stand as we are able and speak the words that we see that come to us from Psalm 14. The foolish say there is no God. We are alone on our own. We gather to declare the glory of God in our lives. The foolish say it is your life. You are accountable to no one. We gather strengthened by the Spirit, trusting that Christ dwells in our hearts. The foolish say, everything I have is mine. I owe nothing to anyone. We gather to praise the one who calls us to serve others in love. Let us worship God.
Would you please turn in your hymnals to hymn number 387 and join me in singing Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us.
Brothers and sisters, Christ knows, God knows, that we are foolish people. God knows, the Spirit knows, that we turn to our own ways and worship our own little idols rather than worshiping God with every breath of our life. Therefore, let us state who and whose we are in the hope and confidence that God will forgive us for being his children who are broken. God of wisdom, we confess the foolishness of our ways and our failure to follow you in your paths of right relationships with you and with others. We have gone astray. We feel lost. We have upheld our own interest first, to be the detriment of others. We have failed to be generous with the poor and abandoned our efforts to bring about justice. We feel the stains of our sins, God. Have mercy on us according to your steadfast love. Wash the sinfulness out of us and help us to live more faithfully as your servants. We seek your unfailing lordship and ask for your guiding hand on our lives. You are the immortal, invisible one. To you be honor and glory forever. Amen. O merciful and loving God, we thank you for never losing hope for us. When we are lost, you are there on the lookout for us, bringing us back to you like the good shepherd that you are. Your word tells us of the joy in heaven that awaits us and reminds us that in you life is renewed, for we have been forgiven. May the joy that comes from this knowledge flow into our lives each day and allow us to faithfully reflect into the world around us. Thanks be to God, our great shepherd. Amen.
Friends, I invite you to turn to one another to share the joy and peace that comes from knowing Christ and knowing that you are forgiven. Do this with a wave and a nod. May the peace of Jesus Christ be with you all.
Go sit with your Graham.
Thank you.
Our second reading today comes to us from the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, and it comes to us from a painful time in the memory of God's people. Chapter 32, beginning at verse 1, we're going to learn about how they turned from God to worship an idol. The people saw that Moses was taking a long time to come down from the mountain. They gathered around Aaron and said to him, "Come on, make us gods who can lead us. As for this man Moses who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't have a clue what has happened to him." Aaron said to them, "All right, take out the gold rings from the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took out the gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. He collected them and tied them up in a cloth. Then he made a metal image of a bull calf, and the people declared, "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf. Then Aaron announced, "Tomorrow will be a festival to the Lord." They got up early the next day and offered up entirely burnt offerings and brought well-being sacrifices. The people sat down to eat and drink and then got up to celebrate. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Hurry up and go down. Your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, are ruining everything. They've already abandoned the path that I commanded. They have made a metal bull calf for themselves. They've bowed down to it and offered sacrifices to it and declared, 'These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" The Lord said to Moses, "I've been watching these people and I've seen how stubborn they are. Now leave me alone. Let my fury burn and devour them. Then I'll make a great nation out of you." But Moses pleaded with the Lord his God, "Lord, why does your fury burn against your own people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and amazing force? Why should the Egyptians say, 'He had an evil plan to take the people out and kill them in the mountains and so wipe them off the earth'? Calm down your fierce anger. Change your mind about doing terrible things to your own people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, whom you yourself promised, 'I'll make your descendants as many as the stars in the sky. And I've promised to give your descendants this whole land to possess for all time.'" Then the Lord changed his mind about the terrible things he said he would do to his people. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, Maggie writes these words. "I'm guessing that most of you have traveled on Maple Avenue on a regular or not so regular basis and have witnessed or even experienced a lot of impatience driving north or south on this well-traveled street. Have you yet found the best route to travel around the many street and bridge closings here in the county? How's your own patience level these days? With yourself, with others, and perhaps, heaven forbid, even God. Although the message of having no other gods and not worshiping idols was an important part of this text, our friend Maggie felt led to focus on its themes of patience and trusting in God. Lack of patience seems to be very prevalent in today's times, but this is nothing new.
Let's take a glance back at some background information before the golden calf was even created. Back in Exodus 20, verses 22 and 23, we could read, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Thus you shall say to the Israelites, you have seen for yourselves that I spoke with you from heaven. You shall not make gods of silver alongside me, nor shall you make yourselves for yourselves gods of gold.'" And in chapter 24, Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders were invited by God to worship at a distance. But only Moses was allowed to approach the Lord. The others were not to come near. And verses 15 to 18 of that chapter explain, "When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day the Lord called Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went up on the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights." Whoa. Wait a minute. God invited Moses alone to approach the Lord, and he stayed for 40 days and 40 nights? I'm beginning to sense some disgruntled Israelites about now. Moses was the only one who was allowed to meet with God, and then this meeting lasted for 40 days? I feel the patience of these people had started to ebb away. During this time, God gave Moses, among other things, extensive requirements for the laws of his people. I can see this would take 40 days and nights, especially since Moses didn't have access to computerized word processing. Besides, God didn't usually seem to be in a hurry during important situations in biblical times. The Israelites had seen the glory of the Lord, which looked like a consuming fire on the mountain, and that Moses had gone in to meet with the Lord. Perhaps the people could have been a little more patient with Moses' delay in returning. After all, this was a meeting with God, their Creator and Heavenly Father, not some random shady character who was trying to sell an extended warranty on a camel. But evidently, Moses didn't return as quickly as the people thought he should, and they became quite impatient. They became distrustful of the situation, and possibly of Moses, because they didn't know what had happened to him. Had he just moved on to a new assignment, leaving them hanging out in the sand? They even seemed to be impatient and distrustful of God while they were at it, and I didn't read in any of the commentaries that they chose to pray to God during this time. No, indeed. They just decided to take matters into their own hands, disobey God, and make a new God for themselves. Their patience for the Lord had worn thin, and now they seemed to be totally rejecting God. Even though the Israelites had seen God's actions, he was invisible to them. And they wanted the familiar gods as in Egypt that they could see and shape in their own image. So, exhibiting traits of human nature, the Israelites lost whatever patience was left and demanded Aaron make gods for them, even though they'd been instructed by God through Moses not to make any gods of gold or silver for themselves. Was Aaron feeling as if the people trusted and liked him more than they trusted his brother Moses? There's nothing like a little sibling rivalry to stir things up a bit. Perhaps Aaron was thinking or hoping that this was his big chance to become the new leader of the Israelites. A commentary I read portrayed Aaron as a good team player. Moses was a good leader, but Aaron had what Moses lacked: effective public speaking.
We can offer our own thoughts as to why Aaron chose to follow the Israelites' request instead of trying to reason with the people and emphasizing that Moses was meeting with God, who had been taking care of them and leading them on their long journey out of Egypt. Aaron evidently didn't care to remind the people of God's commandment to have no other gods than the Lord, their God, and he didn't disappoint the Israelites in granting their request. As we read, Aaron asked for all the golden earrings, melted them together, and formed a golden calf as their god. One commentary I read indicated that as a young bull, the calf symbolized strength, leadership, and fertility, and was a common symbol for deities in the ancient Near East. I would guess Aaron and the others thought the calf image would please these gods they now chose to worship. Sadly, the idea of waiting patiently for Moses to finish the meeting with God and return from the mountain was replaced with worshiping this new golden calf. Although God was meeting with Moses at the time, he was also exhibiting his omnipotent self and simultaneously watching over his people who were making requests of Aaron. God's pretty spectacular in that way. As we heard in this reading, the actions of the Israelites that God observed didn't go over very well. Like many earthly parents, I can picture our Heavenly Father shaking his head and asking, "What were you thinking? Why did you disobey me?" The Lord watched what was going on with their sacrifices and their worship of the golden calf. And I'm certain God was beyond the head-shaking response and that he was pretty angry with his children at this point. The Lord's immediate response was the desire to destroy the people whom Moses had led out of Egypt, to consume them, and to make a new nation out of Moses. Moses, however, implored the Lord to reconsider with two arguments, according to the Interpreter's Bible. First, the Egyptians would say God had an evil intent when he brought them out of Egypt and then just destroyed them. Second, Moses reminded God of the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, swearing he would multiply their descendants and give them the land which they would inherit forever. Fortunately, God heard Moses' words and reconsidered, and then changed his mind about bringing disaster to his people. God wanted to discipline his children, but he chose to remain consistent with his constant mercy. He chose to remain consistent with his constant mercy. He told the people if they changed their behavior, he wouldn't destroy them. And they changed. And God kept his promise, as he continues to keep his promises today. Now, as to this theme of patience, not only do we need to remember to be patient with God while waiting for the answers to our prayers, we should acknowledge God's love and overall patience with us. In our women's Bible study, we often discuss how we might pray for something, and perhaps God is taking his time answering our prayers. Often those prayers aren't answered in ways we expected. We've discussed that his answer is often a better plan for us and most likely what we really need. We've talked about the importance of letting God know our concerns, being patient, and being grateful for however our immortal and invisible God answers our prayers. After all, we've been taught his love for us and for our well-being is always present, even in the darkest of times.
In Judy Blume's book for middle-aged schoolgirls, middle school age girls, get that in the right order. It's titled, Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. The little girl, Margaret Ann Simon, will soon be starting sixth grade at a new school, and she has some personal prayers for God. She's hoping God will listen and honor her requests. You see, Margaret's mother was raised in a Christian home, and her father was raised in a Jewish faith. However, no religion was practiced in Margaret's home. Yet she has begun a quest for God. Thus, every prayer begins with, Are you there, God? It's me, Margaret. Margaret goes to temple with her grandmother and to a Presbyterian church with a friend. And at one point in her quest for God, she even tries going to confession at a Catholic church. Her quest is strong, and she's determined to have a relationship with God. And she seems to be patiently working on this. She asks God if he would mind if she did a year-long project at school on religion while she decides what religion to follow. She trusts God and promises him she won't make any decisions without asking him first. I think we could learn from Margaret by consulting God, trusting him, and patiently waiting for discernment, for the answers, before making any brash decisions on our own. I know as we remember the horrors of 9/11, 21 years ago this morning, that many people were then questioning, Are you there, God? Why did you let this happen? And many people today are still questioning, Were you really there, God? I have to believe God was present then and still is today, helping us to get through our struggles and our pain. Although Margaret is patient overall in this story, there are times when she's a little put out, if you will, with God. She felt he let her do something unkind to a classmate. She said she looked for him in church and couldn't find him. After the church service, Margaret said to God, I didn't really feel you. I'm still a little confused trying to understand, but wish you would help a little. Even after this, Margaret doesn't give up on her search for God. I guess many of us have felt that way on occasion, that we cannot find God, that he's not answering our prayers. But we continue with patience and trust. Otherwise, I'd surmise we wouldn't be sitting in this sanctuary today. There have been many times after first reading this book decades ago, I've somewhat jokingly, but also seriously, thought God has probably personally and maybe not so patiently said to me, Are you there, Margaret? It is I, God, and I am here. Have you forgotten about me? Oops. I'm sure there are many times God has shaken his head and wondered what I was thinking. Perhaps even you have felt God is trying to get your attention every so often and telling you he's still there for you, as he is for all of his children. So we remind ourselves to be patient for God's answers to our prayers, to trust that he knows what's better for us, and to think of God's patience for us. Let us remember to be grateful for God's mercy and for all of his gifts, especially the gift of his Son, our Savior, whose body was broken for us and whose blood was shed for us. Let us also remember to show that mercy and patience for those whose paths cross ours, even when driving on Maple Avenue. Margaret's final prayer in the book was a prayer of gratitude that ended with this: "I know you were there, God. Thanks an awful lot." Well said, Margaret Ann Simmons. Well said. Let us pray. Oh, dear and gracious God, are you here? We trust that you are. We believe that you are. We have faith in you. We ask, though, that you give us patience. Patience to listen for what you have to say to us. Patience with others. Patience with ourselves. Guide us, Lord. Heal our hearts as you are healing Maggie's body. And help us to always remember that it's you, God, and you are there. Amen.
Please turn to hymn number 263 and stand and join me in singing "Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise."
Brothers and sisters, would you please join with me in repeating the words of the Apostles' Creed, which is on page 14 of our hymnal. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, our only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Praise God.
Let us pray together. Let us lift our hearts to the Lord. Gracious God, each new morning you lift our spirits with wonders untold. So on this misty, gray September day, we still sing your praises, for indeed your gifts are many. We thank you for life and breath, the voices of choir members as they join together with renewed energy after a summer respite, the sights of the first red leaves of fall on the sumac, and for the joy of being in community as brothers and sisters here in this place. In Christ, we see the lengths and depths to which you go to find us, to save us. You are the shepherd who seeks out the one lost lamb. So we ask that you make us glad in our salvation so we may share your good news with friends and neighbors in all the world. Now, as your children, we are bold to lift up petitions to your ever-listening ear. We pray for your church, wherever two or more have gathered in Jesus' name. We especially pray for our sister congregations in this presbytery, especially the Northminster Church in Canton, as today they install a new pastor. Guide them and guide us as we seek to do your will in this world. We pray for your world. Each continent and sea was designed by your hand to be unique in nature and yet filled with life. Be it what seems to be empty deserts to vast and hidden oceans. Help us to be faithful stewards of these places so they might be fruitful and healthy. We pray for the people of nations and regions around the globe. Honduras and the Himalayas, Eritrea and England. We especially pray for the people of England who, after 70 years, under the dutiful service and leadership of their sovereign, now face a new horizon with a new earthly king. Bless them and indeed the entire world as we move through this transition. We pray for those who face disaster, be it fires at home, the explosions of war in Ukraine, or grinding poverty, or unexpected death. We remember the disaster which hit our country 21 years ago this day, when planes were overtaken and steered into buildings. We pray for those who died in those moments and for those who live on without loved ones, or who face illness and hardships as a result of this travesty. We pray for neighbors who suffer in mind or spirit, especially for children who want to find their way into this new school year, yet are stumbling in darkness and do not know who they can turn to when they are confused and lost. Guide them to caring shepherds and friends who will always have their best interests in their hearts, who look to you to ensure safety and well-being. We pray for those among us who are shaky on their feet, are recovering from hospital stays, are awaiting more medical tests, as is Dave, or unsure of what is behind the way their bodies are behaving. Calm them. Let them know you are always with them. We pray, too, for the families of those who have lost a loved one. We know that you have found John, Arlene, Anne, whom we lost in this last month. Now guide their families closer to you so that they can feel your comfort. Oh Lord, we pray all this in the words that feel most comfortable to our hearts,
the words that Jesus himself taught the first disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This hymn, you need your insert. Please stand and join me in singing Marching to Zion. Come we that love the Lord and let our joys be known. Join on a song sweet accord, join in a song with sweet accord, and thus around the throne, and thus around the throne. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city.
Welcome downstairs for lunch and a movie with Elvis. Elvis is in the building. Let us say a brief prayer of gratitude for our time of fellowship that is to come. Oh Lord, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for giving us friends in Christ with whom to celebrate being found by you. Thank you for the meal that has been prepared by loving hands that will strengthen us so that we may continue to serve you. And thank you for the fun and frivolity of movies shared with the family of God.
Amen. Amen. And now, go out into the world in peace. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Support the weak. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Care for the ill. And love and serve your Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, knowing that the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community that is the Holy Spirit and draws us all together goes with you each and every step of the way. Amen.
God be with you till